Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is the 16th already. Wow. May. Amazing. On to June.
Yep. Onward and forward. And, you know, it's been kind of eventful, but yet uneventful. And what I mean by that is kind of we've had all these things thrown at us on the markets and, you know, from, I guess, the missiles being launched from North Korea and ransomware attacks crippling computers and markets don't even flinch. And I guess that's how you, what you say this is bullish sentiment. Markets are quite impervious to anything. However, it seems like the latest revelations. And by the way, you must be so thankful for this Trump administration.
Why?
It gives you unlimited amount of stuff for a no agenda show.
I think Clinton would have been the same.
You think so?
Yeah, at least as much.
This is just, it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, a lot of it's just created this to cause trouble. I don't know why these guys are so adamant about it.
Well, anyway, in the last 24 hours, we had numerous different revelations about the Trump's administration's dealings with just all sorts of things. And the latest one, I don't know if you're, I'm sure you are following it. The latest one is how he may have been obstructing justice by mentioning to Comey that maybe he should drop the Flynn ordeal.
Yeah.
And now,
all I hear, and one of the things I think we try to push, promote in No Agenda, talk is cheap. If he's obstructing justice, charge him. Just a lot of talk, nothing.
That's what
nothing
they get paid for. That's what the Congress gets paid for, just to yammering.
Yak. Charge him.
Yeah.
Shut up. What my dad used to say was, shut up or, no, what was it?
Put up or shut up?
Get off the pot or shut up, something like that. I got to figure out how that phrase
went. Shit or get off the pot.
Yeah, that's it.
Shit or get off the pot.
Right. Shit or get off the pot.
Right.
That was it.
Right. Well, we have, interesting. We don't have the ability to block with the same person that comes on every time in the chat room saying just this ridiculous stuff about you.
Yeah, that same guy shows up at the other place too.
No life, just absolutely no life. Well, the dollar index fell to its lowest level in some
By the time. Way, that guy, that same guy, that guy that does this that you can't seem to block?
I usually
is a Mac user.
Oh, really?
Yeah, guaranteed.
Well, that explains a lot. Keep it up. Keep it up. We'll find you. The dollar index fell to its lowest level since the days following the November election. And the DXY, as we call it, the basket, was able to get right towards that 200-day moving average. But I think it's interesting, this whole idea of how the dollar is playing out. If you watch the trend of it, now it's so low. It seems to be, unfortunately, going right in line with the opportunity for the Republicans and for the administration to get any of these things done that they wanted to, because the dollar really went up very nicely, right? After the election, there was all this optimism about the U.S. getting stronger.
Yeah, optimism for me too. I was hoping to go into parity with the euro, but it never happened.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen at this point, but there is something going on there.
So almost a buck 11 right now. It's terrible.
Now Bitcoin is went to about I think 1750 or so, 1800. Price dropped about $200 per coin from its high as the hacking spread. Now, could you do us a favor and explain to our audience about what it is, about what ransomware is, and what this particular WannaCry ransomware hack did?
By the way, I should mention that somebody wrote in, and one of the No Agenda producers, and sent, kind of promoted a thesis that the only reason Bitcoin rose so high was because of this ransomware episode where 70,000 or more computers were infected. I thought that was kind of interesting. Ransomware, of course, it's a type of malware. It's a very advanced form of malware. A lot of people believe it was invented by the NSA, but I'm not absolutely sure that's true. And that, by the way, is my PC column, PC Magazine column tomorrow. It's going to be about the ransomware situation. And I have a convoluted way of blaming Netscape for the whole phenomenon.
Netscape.
Yeah, you have to read the column. It goes in as malware, and it isolates enough of your file system to encrypt a good part of your computer. And you are then, after it does it in the background. And then after it does it, you are presented with the fact that your stuff can't be used anymore, and you can get it back in a couple of days if you send them $300 in this case, which seems low. It used to be $500, but in this case, it's $300 in ransomware, which is what the term is, in Bitcoin. You got to open a Bitcoin account. You got to buy some Bitcoin somehow, and then you have to send them the percentage of the Bitcoin that amounts to $300, and which is less and less, it turns out.
So what
happens? And then they send you a code, and you unlock it, and you're back in business.
But now you still have that ransomware on your computer, right?
I don't know.
I would think they could just kind of fire discussed. It up. Yeah, they get it. Nobody talks about the fact they send you a code, it unlocks it, it gets rid of it, but it's still sitting there.
I would assume it is, yeah.
It's annoying. I tell you something. Hacking, destroying files, we need to have a public flogging. Just cut somebody's nuts off in public that is a hacker.
Yeah.
Well, seriously.
Well, that's a hack. What if it's a woman?
Well, okay. Well,
you're being a sexist.
All right. Well, cut their everything else off. But there was approximately, I don't know, 200 or 150,000 computers that were, I think it may be up to 300,000.
I don't computers. Know. Last I heard was 70,000 and rising.
150 countries is terrible. The S&P.
It floats out there as a malware attachment, I think, on email. And once these things propagate, they propagate the way they always propagate. You know, it's like I love you virus, if you remember that one. Mm-hmm. And it just goes out and just hits whatever it hits. I think I may have been approached a couple of times. Like somebody says, oh, you know, hey, John, I got this new file. You got to check it out. And it's some zip thing. You put your cursor right over and you see it's not even a zip file. It's some website somewhere. And once you hit the web page, it downloads all the bad stuff. And next thing you know, you got a ransomware attack. It can happen to anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I that's the problem. I mean, I don't know how it gets in there exactly, but I can tell you, I don't know if you found anything strange in emails recently, but we got in my office four different DocuSigns that said somebody signed a document. It looked very real. It looked like it was from the right source until we said, but we don't think this is right. So we hovered over to see where it would take us to. And it was definitely not DocuSign.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was the same.
It could have been. I think they use more than one or two tricks. Yeah, sure.
That was a good one. It looked pretty real. But we're on alert here. So we, you know, try not to open anything that doesn't look.
You have everything backed up, 100% backed up.
You got it backed
disk
up.
Disk images is the way to go.
I got a disk image and I have also offsite every night.
Okay. Now, then why worry?
Not worrying. Now, with all this, with North Korea blowing off missiles and shooting them up in the air and all this good stuff and the hoo-ha, the issues with regard to the ransomware, which I, by the way, just to remind you, I said that that cyber-related issues would be the downfall of the markets one day in the future. You said it was.
Yeah, I actually believe that's maybe true.
Yeah, I'm still holding
that. Just saying it, though.
No, not yet. Not at this point. But even so, the S&P hit a record yesterday. The NASDAQ hit a record yesterday and again today. And it seems like back to impervious again.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Oil, here we go. If you don't know if you've been following oil, but it hit.
It was a big deal when NASDAQ broke through 6,000. Now it's at 6,160 something. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the big boys just keep on moving up, which is just taking everything straight up. You know, you got the Microsofts, the Amazons, the Googles, the who did I miss there? Facebook. You know, they're just moving right back up, you know, on a continual basis. Even when bad news hits these days, like we'll talk about Snap in a second, kind of interesting how it kind of came back up. But oil isn't in the spotlight once again. OPEC and Russia agreeing to keep production cuts until March 2018. As the price sank below 44, they're all of a sudden like, hey, ooh, we need to do something. So I wonder if traders are going to swallow this hook, line, and sinker again as they hope to keep, you know, inventories from rising. And just like what happened last time, as soon as OPEC stepped in with these production cuts, even though it didn't help out inventories at all, that oil prices went from what, 40-something up to, I don't know, 53?
Yeah, so I think it maybe hit 53, yeah.
And now as they went back to talking it up again, oil hit a high of 49.66, up 8% from its low after the announcement. And I guess there was some skepticism this time. And then we saw it fall hard again overnight as inventories numbers came out Tuesday evening, tonight.
Hmm.
So, now you remember last week we talked about, and I mentioned this could be the short of a century. Remember that whole discussion I had?
Yeah, the short of the century.
Yeah. And I talked about the whole analysis of it. I said, you know, it looks like this mystery bidder that's coming, it could be Verizon, and I don't understand why the stock is moving up to 225, 230. It looks like they're going to probably take this 184, and if they took the 184, probably the stock would be about in the 170s, like 175, 176, 177, somewhere around there. Give it a little bit of wiggle room. You know how usually you have that where you have concerns whether the deal is going to close, if there'll be any kind of antitrust issues. So lo and behold, they had 3 days to make the announcement of whether they're going to accept that 184. And on the third day, they actually accepted the 184. Stock moved down to about 177. And that short was wonderful, about 25%.
No kidding.
Yep. And I had some personal put options on it that I bought at about 370 and closed them out over 12.
Yeah, dynamite.
That was a good one. Now, Snap, a company formerly known as Snapchat, its earnings came out. Now, this was the first earnings announcement after the company became public or went public, which usually is the time when the stock should shine, when the company should be right on its direct path to greatness. That's generally what goes on, right? They're flush with capital. They have all this opportunity. And if you remember, the stock came live, it went to 17, up to 29, came back to 20, went up a little bit. And it came out with its earnings, which were terrible, and it dropped about 20% to a low of about 17.59.
Hmm.
Now, a few days later, it's regained some of that, up to 20.50, right at the resistance point, after many cheerleaders came out. You know these guys, right? You got the tech community out there saying, yeah, we're buying it. You had all these 13Fs that came out, which are the holdings of hedge funds and institutions. And a lot of them had a significant amount of holdings of Snap. We had investment firms like Fidelity and BlackRock owning massive amounts of this in their regulatory filings. And we saw a variety of other players out there with it, right? So we have Cuban talking it up, tech community talking it up. No analyst has really a sell a signal on it. And then you have all these other companies that are coming out and marching out. That's 13F season with all their big holdings of Snap. And everybody just piled back in. Snap was up 8% on Monday. It was his third strongest day since it came public. And here's my analysis.
I think I saw Cuban, for example, touting it on some show on CNBC. Anyway, yes. What is your analysis?
My analysis is simple. It's that it is the stupidest reason in the world to follow 13F filings because you want to follow whoever the name is that you like. Because 13F filings are backwards looking. They're like last quarter. And hedge funds, while a lot of times they are there for the long haul on certain names, they may not be on others. So we don't have any idea at all who owns shares now or what they own, if they have more, if they have less, if they have any of it. So I think it's, you know, kind of crazy that people look to these 13Fs and CNBC and Bloomberg, they put this out there as, you know, oh, look at all the 13F filings and look what who's owning what, because you want to follow along with the big boys, right?
Sure.
So meanwhile, Snap still didn't do well on their opening salvo earnings report. And now we saw that today, Facebook announced, or Instagram announced, that Instagram introduced face filters copying Snapchat. Snapchat was down about 2% earlier in the day. It finished down about 1.5%. But I'm just going to go back to my playbook here and tell you that I don't understand how the revenue model is going to expand. It is not the next Facebook. It's not the next Twitter. It's not the next Google by any means. It's an app.
It's not the next Instagram for that matter.
It's Angry Birds.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that other thing, Farmville.
Yeah, it's Farmville. My favorite. Right, exactly. It's Farmville. That's what it is. Candy Crush. So, I mean, it's interesting messaging system out there, but I just don't think that people have their heads on straight when it comes to this. So we'll talk about that. That's maybe a name that we'll put on the game, which we play, which we'll be getting
as a short.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I'm in on that one.
Yeah, I thought so.
I've always been dubious about the whole thing. This is like one of those things when we have our bond collapse and takes the market with it, which will be in the next 6 months, I think. Mm-hmm. This will be one of the stocks that goes down to its true value, which will be a dollar or two.
Wow, that's a big move.
Yeah, I would say, but don't you think it's propped up a bit?
It is propped up a bit, and it's probably still getting a lot of extra benefit from some of the IPO placeholders, you know, the companies that took it public, the syndicate. So I think that you have a good point there. I don't know if it's going to be $1 or $2, but I could definitely see it back down to 15 or lower, maybe 12.
Yeah, I don't think there's an issue.
Yeah.
But I'm still thinking, well, I don't think there's an issue with going down a little bit. But I think if there's a market correction that's major, it's done.
You know,
I could be wrong, but I'll bet you a year from now, if we're still doing the show, which I hope, that the stock will be either bought by someone, which is always a possibility. That's the kind of the killer when you're looking at a stock like this and you think, well, hell with it. It's no good. It's shorted. I mean, that's my attitude. But, you know, somebody will come along and buy it for $18 a share.
I don't know why would you want to buy it if you can copy it so easily?
Well, this is the make-buy decision that has been dominating the all of tech. They never make anything. They buy for the customer base. They figure in, okay, we can do – this is not rocket science. I mean, Instagram wasn't either. But they get so many people that are their customers, even though they're making zero money from these people. It's like you buy the thing and then you now own it, so you don't have to worry about competing with it. If you make a clone of it, you have to compete with it, and you don't know. Maybe they got something up their sleeve. So that's a risk, number one. Number two, they have a bunch of customers, and you can take the customers with you. And when you make your make-buy decision in tech, generally speaking, they do the buy.
But
they never make anything.
But if you're going to do it because you want to grab the audience, there is so much overlap between all these instant messaging and picture-related apps.
Hey. Tell me about it. Don't you think that the same logic holds true for Instagram when Facebook bought them?
I suppose.
This is never taken into account, what you just said.
They just don't care.
That is just ignored.
Just ignored.
Well, if there's one extra guy, oh, wait, they got one customer, but there's no overlap. One's enough.
I guess.
I mean, I've just seen it too often. I've seen it for the 20 years plus.
I suppose.
Same story.
Hey, Jack in the chat room is talking about how this Evan Spiegel is people in the LA, or people know, is saying is the Steve Jobs of LA. Really? This is the CEO founder of Snapchat. He's the Steve Jobs of LA. Jack, I think that's a little stretching.
Could be
a little
the
bit.
Steve Jobs of LA. So what?
Yeah. Is that Louisiana? Steve Jobs of Louisiana? Is that what he's saying?
His name is Spiegel.
That's what I said. Spiegel.
Is it Spiegel? Yeah, it's Spiegel. So I don't know who that guy is. But Spiegel is, he's only 26. He reminds me more of a Zuckerberg than he does of a Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs is a real tinkerer. And Steve Jobs is a completely different animal than a guy like this.
Mm. Well, let's continue on with our technology discussion, then we'll get on to the airlines. But of course, we saw the news today about Biz Stone, who is the co-founder of Twitter, is coming back. He's coming back. First of all, I love his name.
Coming back from where?
I guess from his vacation for 6 years that he hasn't been working at Twitter. And he's coming back to Twitter.
Good.
Biz Stone. I like that name.
Yeah, it cracks me up. Yeah. Biz Stone, Ev Head. I mean, these guys, they all got screwy names in that company. It's very strange. And Biz Stone is a classic.
I think that is, you know who that is? That is like the, that would be the big wig on the Flintstones. You know?
Yeah, the boss.
Is that the perfect name? Mr. Stone.
Stone, get in here.
And Biz Stone, the co-founder of Twitter, is back and at Twitter, and he's going to be taking on a very important role and a very substantial role in management, which begs a few questions in my book.
Okay.
Is the company now not up for sale or speculation that a buyout will occur?
I would think just the opposite.
You would think
would think Biz Stone would come in there to make it a better product for a buyout.
So he's going
to
clean it up, get rid of the fat, figure out ways to maybe ramp some of the revenue.
Trim the fat, yeah.
It's kind of like a positioning of a house before you sell it.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's like the stagers.
He's going to paint the walls. He's going to kind of put up fake pictures of just of families that look happy, but not nondescript.
Yeah, maybe do a little advertising to get a little attention.
Yeah, maybe they'll put some money into advertising. Just like do you remember that company with the mayonnaise that bought their own product back off the shelves?
Yes, that horrible mayonnaise.
Right, that was the natural mayonnaise, and it kept on getting great orders because the company would buy it off the shelves for themselves.
Yes, they were buying their own mayonnaise to increase demand.
Right. I wonder if maybe Biz Stone and Dorsey will get together. Instead of buying their own stock, just buy some of the advertising. Put it right back in. Then they can take it out.
Yes, I don't even know where the advertising is interstitial. I don't even know where it is on Twitter. There's no banner ads or anything that would be normally recognize. There's some interstitial stuff where they have somebody posting a promoted, always says promoted, and I guess that's advertising.
Yeah, that's Promoted is the advertising. They can't say
the
word ad. You got to say promoted because otherwise, you know, nobody would look at it. Not that anybody looks at it. Anyway, interstitial. Oh, that's a good one. That's one of those.
Yes,
that's a good word.
It's a good word. It's a good word.
Yeah.
It means just slipping it in.
Mm-hmm. But maybe Jack Dorsey is stepping aside. Maybe he's not going to be running two companies any longer. That was another question I had. He's running right now Square.
Yeah, I think he should concentrate on Square.
Yep.
I think Square has a lot of potential as being a huge operation.
And this whole idea that Twitter will be looking for some serious changes by bringing in the co-founder who has not been involved in it for 6 years and therefore a bit rusty, I might say.
Yeah, except it hasn't really changed in 6 years.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? So the question is, do old line founders ever really make a difference when coming back? And wouldn't it be better to bring in
Steve Jobs?
That's one. That's one. I guess you could say from Starbucks, he came back too.
A little bit.
Mm. So maybe there's a couple. But I still wonder whether it'd be better to bring in some fresh minds to shake it up a bit.
I'm exactly the opposite in so far as that's concerned, and so far as thinking. I'm just the opposite of that. I think bringing these guys back in, they're the only guys who got it in the first place, the way I see it with tech. With tech, there's a guy who gets it, and he's the guy who started the company. He's the only one who ever gets it. Nobody ever figures it out. You see it all the time. And so they let some new guys take over, and they got some other ideas. It's got nothing to do with the original thoughts, and boom, the company's down the drain right there. You got to keep these guys in. And bringing a guy in like that, bringing him back, I would say is a very positive thing.
All right. Well, Twitter was up on the news. It's up back to about $19.25, which is a pretty good level from where it was. I think it dipped down to sub 15. Mm. So there is something going on back there, with all this. Let's go back to the airlines before we get to the retail market, which has been a disaster. Let's go back to the airlines. Now, this airline news that has been coming out, you got these people that were thrown off the plane because of a birthday cake that they tried to store in the up there and then below the seat. And the
I didn't hear cake. About the birthday cake one.
Yeah, the birthday cake. I guess it was something.
Was it lit? Were the candles lit? Maybe that would be the problem.
Maybe that's the problem. But there was a birthday cake and there was a kids on the plane. They were going somewhere and they couldn't store it up top and they couldn't store it at bottom. And people got upset. The family was thrown off the plane. And then on another deal, was it United? No, maybe it was Delta. Maybe it was Delta. Gave away four $1,000 vouchers tonight. No, they got to publicize that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, then we saw the news just, I think, yesterday or over the weekend that United Airlines is changing the keypad codes used in its cockpit doors because somehow they were accidentally posted on a public website, which I don't even know how that happens.
I don't know how that happens either. So are they all the same?
The airline sent a memo to pilots over the weekend telling them to use alternative security measures, whatever that means. I guess that means a bat and a mace or something, because it seems that the cockpit codes, which maybe were all the same on certain planes, maybe all the planes domestic had something, or flying east to west or north to south, or some Europe had some other numbers. And what is going on with the airlines?
I don't know. It's almost as though this is some strategic attack by maybe investors that are shorting the airlines. I don't know. But it's when I see too many things like this about one industry and they're all kind of concentrated, I don't trust it.
That is interesting. That's an interesting thesis, that there is short sellers out there. Well, by the way, it didn't work because United Airlines was up 1.5% after this news came out.
Yes, but who would have thunk that?
Right. Well, in this market,
and short sellers get burned with these schemes.
Yeah. Yeah, this one doesn't work. We'll try something else. We'll put some more bad stuff into a Chipotle burrito. Right.
Yeah.
But
Chipotle's
anyway,
overdue.
It seems to me that it's still this ability. It's the social media. People wanting to be famous. Look at me. Taking pictures and posting them and all this, you know, this whole world of selfies that everybody wants to get in on the action. And this is just another way to get on the action by getting your, you know, taking photos of it, taking videos of it, getting right out there. I mean, people are quick to pull out their phones. You know, if there's a shooting and stuff, the first thing I'm going to do is not pull out my phone. I'm running like hell.
Yeah, well, you're old generation.
Yeah, right. So I want to get this on my Instagram feed. I'll take the risk that I'm going to get shot, but it's going to make for a great video on Facebook. Is that the mentality?
Well, why don't you take your thesis and talk to those storm chasers? But that's what they do. They're nuts.
They're not scientists.
And they're going out of their way. I mean, this guy, you just happen to be discussing a happenstance. You're standing around, the gunshots are fired, you pull out your phone and shoot. You're not actually going out and seeking the shooting like a storm chaser does.
Wow, you're using some big words, some like very robust thesaurus. Happenstance. And what was the other one?
I said happenstance.
Happenstance. Interstitial.
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 Yeah, I use a couple of monosyllabic words. Oops, there's another one.
There you go. There you go again. Anyway.
Actually, it meant polysyllabic. Monosyllabic is what we normally do.
Right.
Anyway, go on.
I didn't want to correct you on that.
You could have corrected me. It wouldn't have hurt.
Okay. Well, so now we have all this going on. I think that, unfortunately, I don't know where it's going to end. We've talked about how we just hoped and wished and begged for Facebook to stop with the live feeds.
But I wrote a whole column bitching about it.
So I guess everybody just wants to be famous for a little while. And, you know, if you could, you know, the old days you had to actually do something. Now you just pretend and be somewhere and just click the button. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think Paris Hilton is the one who showed us the way to do that.
Yeah. And reality TV. Maybe this is the reason why malls don't have any business.
Wow. Now you've really done it.
Maybe this is the whole reason as we're segueing into the whole big box retailer discussion of what happened last week. I mean, a harpooning, a bludgeoning of these companies. The earnings came out for Macy's and Dillard's and Kohl's. Sears, JCPenney, Nordstrom's, even Dick's Sporting Goods today got absolutely obliterated. Mm. Macy's down 15% on the earnings. And they're closing stores and all that. And they're just dropping employees. Kohl's dropped 6.5 after it was dropped. Yeah, Best Buy is doing good. Somebody asked about that. Best Buy is doing well. You know why? There's no other place.
Best Buy is a mystery to me that they're still in business.
That's it. Who else is there if you need something in a pinch?
But what would you – there's nothing at Best Buy that you would want to buy that you can't get online and receive the next day or the day after.
Well, once – I think Best Buy is like the candy at the checkout aisle at the grocery store. You go down the grocery aisle and you're like, there's some gum over there. I'll grab that. It's a impulse buy where you want something now. You need it now. You don't want to wait. When the time comes, that same day delivery.
When's the last time you were in a Best Buy?
A few months ago.
What were you there for? I'll preface this by saying I haven't been in a Best Buy for at least 3 or 4 years.
I found that you can buy, first of all, they match Amazon pricing.
That's a plus.
So you go there and you find, I don't know what you find. Let's say a monitor.
Do you take a little piece of paper with the monitor price printed out on the from Amazon, or do you do a look up there?
I look it up and I show them on my phone. Here it is.
Oh, okay.
I do the same thing at Office Depot.
All right.
If I ever happen to need like ink in a pinch. Their price is like $40. I say, hey, it's $27 here on Amazon. They look at it. They don't even see if it's like from a third-party seller. To be honest with you, I could have totally Photoshopped the whole thing. They don't look.
Well, there you go. Now you're talking.
Yeah, there's an idea for you. So somebody should go into that business to make instant pricing.
Anyone should, learning Photoshop is not rocket science.
I understand.
But I like the idea. But let's go back to what you were doing at Best Buy.
What was I doing at Best Buy? I was looking for something. Did I buy something? I feel like I bought something there. I know I bought a TV there some time ago. I was looking for something, and I don't think I found what I wanted.
Well, there you go. I think you've summarized the experience. Find what I wanted.
But seriously, if you want something, and if you I don't know what, I think it was an Apple device I wanted. Some kind of maybe a cord or something. I don't know, something I needed. So.
Yeah, and they didn't have it.
They may not have had it. But there was something else. A couple of times I go there every once in a while. I'm like, I'm going to Best Buy. Oh, I bought? I bought some monitors for my I'm trying to think which monitor I bought. I think I bought some monitors for my computer here. And it was like, it was a reasonable price, and I just bought it. I need one for my father-in-law.
What's a reasonable price for a good monitor for you?
It was like $175 or $160.
Oh, yeah, steel. Yeah, it's a good price.
It was what do I got here? The Asus monitors, like 24-inch wide.
Yeah, they're fine.
I got three of those matched on one side of my desk.
It's a little small, but...
I got three of them across.
Yeah, I keep changing my model. My current thinking is 30-inch monitors, two of them.
Yeah, you have to have at least once you for those of you that don't have dual monitors on a desktop, once you have two, you're never going back. Once you have three, I used to have four. I got a little bit much.
Four is a classic for a stockbroker guy.
Yeah, four I had. I never put them up and down. You always want them across because it's easier to move your head left and right versus up and down.
Oh, I see a lot of them up and down. I also see six up and down.
Three by two?
Three
across.
And three more. Three across and three across higher.
Right, that's three
and
by two.
And you see that at trading desks of guys who trade money.
Yeah, that's what I have, three. I put my Salesforce and stuff on one and Word and all that on one. I have my... other two spread out and I have news on a third. Usually the news is always on one. So I see what's ticking, what's going on. I have my charts and my alerts and all that on two of them. And then I'll just bring up Word or whatever I'm doing on another one.
Yeah. I have one primary one. I'm only using two now, but they're huge. They're like 30 plus inches. And, I put my notes on the one that I'm not concentrating on. And I tend to use the one on the left.
Yeah.
All the time as the main thing.
Right.
And then I have to kind of turn to see the other one.
Yep.
But that's got like notes or it's got little cut and paste things or something like that.
My third one is just kind of for like junk gathering.
And right.
Pull stuff over every once in a while, put it back, pull some over.
Yeah, you might need it later.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, some of these are just getting just killed. Dick's was down about 14% today. And Nordstrom's, JCPenney, Sears looks like it's out and done. Matter of fact, there's some talk from, I have this note somewhere here, from Lambert. Lampert Eddie Lampert, who is trying to fight back because it seems that the vendors that sell to Sears is trying to make different deals with them and trying to screw them royally.
Hmm.
So, and he's coming back and saying, no, that's
kick them while they're down. Yeah,
exactly.
Yay.
Exactly. Apple. Here's some news. Might be discontinuing its iPad mini product, which is really no different than its large iPhone. But we have seen
not that much different.
No, but we've seen that what? The iPads have been getting fewer and fewer sold each and every time it comes out.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like almost like a monitor. I mean, once you buy one, you don't really need to get another one unless you break it.
Ford announcing, this is interesting. This is really interesting. Ford announcing that it will fire 10% of its workforce. That's a big number.
I wonder if they cleared that with Trump.
Ah, now that's exactly what I was bringing up. Because weren't they supposed to be hiring in Detroit in particular and in the U.S. as a sacred offering to Trump?
Yes, that's what I understood.
Isn't that what that was? That was kind of like on the offering platter to President Trump when he came in. Here's your gift. You know, if, as opposed to bringing him artwork or anything. This is, here's your jobs. We're going to be hiring all sorts. But no, 10% of its workforce going kerplunk. Now, I'm sure they'll come out with saying, yeah, well, it's only 2% in the U.S. and the rest is offshore and overseas. You know, they'll come up with some shenanigans.
We'll see.
We're just firing our Mexican workers.
Well, the robots, you know, are making inroads. When I was a kid, I worked at Ford.
You did? What did you do?
I was on the assembly line and
I also did.
Yeah.
Really?
It was one of my college jobs.
How was that? Was that tough work?
I when I was a kid, this is old stories.
This is Model T stuff you're talking about.
But when I was a kid, I would work in the summers while I was in high school. I'd have really good paying jobs. I'd get union jobs when I was in college during the summer. And I was making lots of money. I didn't have to take out student loans or anything. And even though they did have them back then. But back then,
college was like
it was free.
$500 per year.
Yeah, it was like the books you had to pay. And the books weren't a gouge either. Everything's a gouge now. The kids are screwed over. And I don't understand how they put up with it. Anyway, so yeah, I worked at Ford. And I recall I worked at a number of assembly lines. I worked at International Harvester, Ford, and Trailmobile. I finally got a clue later, and I became an inspector instead of a worker. And I remember when there was no robots. There were no robots on the line.
And no computers.
Right. There weren't computers either. The computers came in later. And so it was the place was packed with people. Big lunch rooms and giant, you know, the bathrooms had that big giant – a big sink that was a circle, a big giant circle, and you stepped on a bar to turn on the faucets and all the faucets lit up. And
Did you have the lunch truck that would blow its horn and everybody would go outside and grab stuff off the lunch truck?
At the big companies like Ford, there was less of that. It's when you worked in a smaller, like a sheet metal shop or some little business that was doing something else. Yes, that can come in. They have this crazy horn. And it would be, you know, you'd come out and you'd eat these horrible sandwiches. The taco trucks of today have really improved that scene.
And did you have a punch card?
I think I had a punch card in maybe one job or two. Generally speaking, there were no punch. Well,
yeah, the punch probably. Card for the time card. You slide it in.
I know how it works.
Dvorak was a little slot there.
You'd stick it in and it'd stamp your time in and time out.
Right. The first thing you would do is go there and then you'd get yourself ready and all that.
Yeah, I think Ford, maybe Ford did employ that method.
I remember those days.
Yeah, I think they all did. This is something you forget about because it's so common.
And so long ago.
I like the old ones you see in the movies. Where there's your punch card and you pull a big lever like it's a slot machine. And there's a big giant clock right there.
Yeah, right above it, the clock.
No, these are all little gray devices that you just stick it in with a stamp. You didn't make a stamping noise.
Right, go, and then you just put it in the slot. You just put it in the slot. And you can lift up and see who worked when and everybody's up there.
Yeah.
If you really want to mess with somebody, you take theirs and just then they're screwed for the week. Because that's the only way they got paid.
You could do that. Yeah. You'd be risking a beating.
Yeah, true. Before we get on to some of the close to the pin discussion and things of that nature. And oh, by the way, if you want to listen to all the great 140 word character conversations via Twitter, you can follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak and myself, Andrew Horowitz. Let's talk a little bit for a moment about United Healthcare. This pisses me off.
Good.
I have been saying for the longest time, I don't understand with Obamacare or any kind of healthcare plan, I don't care what it is, how these insurance companies and HMOs and hospitals, and all that, how are they making so much goddamn money? How are they allowed to make so much money? I'm not talking about a reasonable amount. I'm talking about an obscene amount of money.
Yeah.
Where they have billions of dollars in profits just sitting in their banks.
Yeah.
Does this aggravate you?
I think it's a complete scam.
This is the worst.
And it's unbelievable. And then if you start to look at who has been financing these candidates for president and then Congress and Senate, it's mostly health insurance companies and insurance companies in general. I mean, Obama's number one donor was in the insurance industry. And so he comes in the office and when he could have walked over everybody by putting in single payer right off the bat, he could have. He had the votes. He didn't.
Yep. Well, now
I remember on the No Agenda show a couple of times we'd hear about Obama slip and he wouldn't say healthcare reform. He'd say insurance reform.
Oh. And what would that be? What's the relevance there?
Well, in other words, it was the whole thing was to change the way insurance worked in regards to healthcare. We never used to. When I was a kid, there was no need for health insurance except for, I mean, to go to the doctor and get some pills. It was only for if you're going to, you know, have all your arms and legs broken in a car wreck. Now it's like an integral part of the whole system.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. A whistleblower now reveals that there's some monkey business going on in the healthcare sector. It seems that United Healthcare has been bilking Medicare by gaming the payment system for years.
Good.
What happened? Good for what? That they got caught?
Good that they got busted.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The sicker the patient, the more they were able to bill. So what they would do is they would make the patient look sicker on paper, if you will. Have them go through more tests, give them more things, have them come back more, which we know is always the case. This is classic with chiropractors. A little bit different, tangential
same,
here.
Same.
You know, you say, listen, you got to come in three times a week.
Yeah.
It's like, really? I mean, I am certain if you went into a chiropractor and you had absolutely nothing wrong with you, and you said, you know,
No, that's not possible.
Yeah, that's also not possible. And you know what's really interesting about, I've been to chiropractors, you know what's really fascinating? They can cure your allergies by cracking your neck, by adjusting your back. Because my lower back, that little crack they do in that adjustment, I can fully understand how that helps with allergies.
Well, they have they have their own theories about this.
Bring your kids in. It could take care of their ADD.
It's all the spine. Everything is the spine.
Everything's spine. But the sicker the patient, the more they're able to bill. So the question I still ask is this something that should be going on? The ability for them to game the system. I mean, billions of dollars. And on top of it, do you think, back to our discussion of Wells Fargo, that this is an isolated case?
There you go. It's definitely not an isolated case.
Yep.
Somebody should go to jail, but they won't because they own Congress. Mm-hmm. This is unbelievable.
Yep.
No wonder you're irked.
I am very irked. And on top of it, you know, I don't understand. I think I do pretty well in business and everything is great. I mean, paying $1,500 to $1,700 a month for my family's health insurance seems absurd. Hmm. How do people get along?
Yeah, it's like, $20,000 a year. If you just put that in the bank, you know, you could.
I'd rather give it to charity.
Yeah.
It
never used to be like this.
Yeah. Back in the old days again. Back in the old days, you go to the doctor and you'd be like, oh, what's wrong with you? And they wouldn't even charge you sometimes.
No, they'd always charge you.
My uncle was a doctor.
But so not by that much. Yeah. It wasn't like a ripoff.
Yep. You know who's really good at ripping off and who's mastered the art of extracting, more than one extractions here, extracting money from you? Dentists.
Oh, yeah. That crown's got to be replaced.
Do you know?
I just put this crown in a couple years ago. I'm sleeking.
Yep.
Sleeking what?
Yeah. Or when's the last time you had x-rays?
Oh, the x-rays are ridiculous.
But what's interesting is that they have, what do they call them? Practice management and optimization specialists that come in to teach them all these ways to upgrade all the systems so that they can continue billing and all.
Upsell.
Yeah. Upselling. You do that in a restaurant. Would you like to have the gold tequila with that margarita? It really adds to the flavor. That's an upsell. Upsell is not, you know, I see those fillings you have that have been fine for you for years. I know they've been fine for you the last 15 years, but you know, you never know. We should replace those. I'm like, what?
Well, okay. It's a variation of upselling.
Yeah. We do have the Close to the Pin competition going on right now. This is where the listeners get to have an opportunity to compete to find out if they can get the closest to the price of a particular security on a particular day. Go over to dhunplugged.com and check it out. Right now, we are doing the VIX, the Volatility Index. We never did this before. So you can go over there and put your price guess in for a few more days, and you will have the opportunity to win a one-of-a-kind DH Unplugged t-shirt, black with some very nice graphics on it. And also, at the end of the year, we'll have the crowning Close to the Pin competition, the CTP Cup, where all the winners of each of the various ones we do throughout the year will get entry and can then be a part of winning something very big. Last year's winner won an Amazon gift card, won a very large trophy, and all sorts of other goodies like books and things and all that. So they just incredible. And now they will be featured on a couple of TV shows. I think Geraldo is going to interview our people. by the way, if you love the show, if you hate the show, if you made some money, I know a few of you out there made some money on some of the things we talked about last week. Please donate to the show because it goes into the pot to give us more opportunity to develop the site, develop the show, and all those good things. Okay. On another topic. So today there was a press conference that was going on. There was a press conference that was the discussion early on, the first problem that Trump had, early on about the Russian leak of information that may be in a problem that was, you know, that whole thing, right? So yeah. I went to watch the press conference at 11:30 today, and I decided, you know what, I'll watch it on the computer, on CNN or whatever. But I happened to be on CNN. I said, okay, I'll watch it there. Watch the press conference. 7 commercials I had to watch before the press conference launched, before it even came on. CNN was playing. It was on the background. I saw
broadcast
it on the
broadcast TV. Is out of control with commercials.
It's not like, broadcast it's TV. This was online.
Yeah. Well, that actually online ads 7. Are worse because they will now do segment commercial. If you watch the news, like the NBC, CBS, all these guys do it. You got a commercial, then they play the little segment, that whatever it is, a little piece. And then it goes to the next one. You click on the next segment, commercial.
Yep.
So it's almost like 50% of the time is commercials. It's like a 2-minute minute commercial, minute segment. Mm. It's unbelievable.
Yep.
And it's usually the same ad over and over in many cases. They can't sell enough of these ads. They got two, you know, it's ridiculous.
This was 7 different obnoxious ads. That it was about 2.5 minutes worth of ads. I never saw so many ads on a, usually it's 1 or 2 and then they start your program. Just to let you know, that will be the last time I do that.
Yeah, good.
The last time. Walt Disney.
Use C-SPAN. You go to C-SPAN and
that's
all
good
your
idea. I could do that. That's a good point.
Because C-SPAN's got no ads.
Yep, that's the way to go. Walt Disney. Seems that in the midst of all this hacking that's going on, Bob Iger, the CEO, has revealed that hackers claim to have access to an unnamed upcoming movie and also have demanded ransom.
Hmm.
So I think this has happened before. And he made some comments during some town hall meeting with ABC employees, and the hackers have demanded an enormous amount of money to be paid on Bitcoin. And Disney refuses to pay.
Good for them.
Yep.
So what if the movie's leaked? It just becomes, gets more publicity.
Yeah. That's probably what this is, right in the midst of all this.
Like this
what is
whole
it?
Thing.
What is
maybe.
It? What is it? Yep. Yeah. It's a publicity stunt. I talked about Sears a moment ago. United Healthcare, I gave you that. Well, by the way, this follow-up to this United Healthcare was that the whistleblower said that he made more money through bonuses to make patients look sicker. So that's the other part of it.
And guess what will happen when all is said and done?
Nothing.
No. The whistleblower will be thrown in jail for doing exactly. Just what you explained.
Or found dead somewhere.
Or, well, there's always that.
Let's see. With a few minutes we have left, five major chocolate and candy. This sucks. This is a terrible story. Five major chocolate and candy companies announced a joint commitment on Thursday to reduce calories in many sweets sold in the United States. They're, I guess, working on.
Well, if that means eliminating sugar and high fructose corn syrup, that's fine.
What are they going to put in?
Well, a lot of this stuff is oversugared. Have you never had a candy bar or you had a piece of chocolate and you said, oh my God, this is too sweet?
Yeah, no, not really.
I have.
Well, like what? Like a $100,000 bar or a Heath bar?
No, I mean, for example, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
There's an ice creamery in Oakland called Fenton's, very famous. They have an outlet in the Oakland airport over by the Southwest gates. And I had an ice cream cone from them one day. And it was so sweet. It was like giving me a headache.
Why is it so famous, though? People like that, obviously.
I don't know. Maybe some people do like it when it's too sweet, but that was outrageous.
We are the U.S. is the largest consumer of sweeteners and obesity. We're the largest consumer. How's this sentence work? Listen, I clipped this one.
It's very poorly written.
The United States is the world's largest consumer of sweeteners and obesity. So we consume, yes. We consume obesity?
Yeah, cannibals.
So with the largest consumer of sweeteners and obesity, diabetes and heart risk rank among the – this is a terrible sentence.
The guy – whoever wrote that can't write.
Yeah. The U.S. food
– there's no editors.
Terrible. Well, naturally. The FDA overhauled packages on food labeling last year, and they have to list sugars. So now because they have to list the sugars, they're going to say, well, we have less in it. I guess people look –
they've always had to list sugar.
I guess it's some kind of – oh, list added sugars on labels by 2018. So maybe it's not maybe it's the extra sugar or something they put in. How much sugar can you put in? It's not the cheapest thing. I mean, there's got to be other things to put in.
High fructose corn syrup. Yeah. That's the cheap thing you want to put in.
What does it replace? I mean, what do you...
Sugar.
Yeah, so you put that in. Is that more fattening than sugar?
It's actually, it's cheaper. It's a cheap product.
Right.
And it doesn't do, it has a lot of issues and it may be harmful to the liver and kidneys. Mm.
Two more quick stories here. There's a new trend going on, which I find reprehensible, distasteful, and it's a sign of the times, I suppose. You know, I always said the best diet, you know what the best diet is? Two diets that are the best diets I've ever seen. They work magic. There is no question that these two diets are, any other diet that you could tell me about, I'm telling you, these two diets are the diets. You want to hear what they are?
Can I guess one of them?
Yeah, I got it.
Gunshot wound.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. That's not the one I was thinking of, but that's a good one. The wedding diet and the divorce diet. It's a natural diet. It seems that you're getting married, you lose all sorts of weight. You're getting divorced, you lose all sorts of weight.
Yeah.
Now there is a bridal boot camps and bridal diets that are coming on. And where you have diet specialists and these people for, you have like a 1 week bridal boot camp that will get you in shape for your wedding, which costs anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000.
Jeez.
People are getting insane. Not to mention these whole, the destination weddings that they, you know, it used to be, where do you go? You went to a bachelor party, you go to some strip club, you go to some bar, you go to somewhere around the corner and you have a great night, right? Now you have to go and you have to schlep to San Juan.
Yeah, I know people that have schlepped to Ireland.
Yeah, and you have a cruise thing, and everybody's got to pay their own way. So now this wedding now just cost me $3,000.
Yeah, I refuse to go to any such wedding.
Yep. Yeah, that's right, Jack. I went to Cuba. I did go to Cuba. It was a cheapie, though. It was a cheap trip. Cheap Trick is the band.
The Cuba was the wedding?
No, it was the bachelor party.
Oh.
The wedding's this weekend.
That is pretty extravagant.
The wedding's this weekend. And it's a car right away. It's going to be fun. It's going to be we have a tarpon tournament one day. We have golf.
Where's the wedding?
It's in Gasparilla Island.
Gasparilla Island?
Yeah.
Where's that?
On the West Coast by Tampa in Florida. Really quaint little island. I think the Gasparilla Fest is there. I think that's where it is, or right around there. A big musical festival each year.
Sounds like a place where you'd be hijacked.
Yeah. Hijacked. I hope not. Finally, a county in New York has sued Purdue Pharma and J&J, Johnson & Johnson, and other drug makers, accusing them of fraudulent marketing to play down the risk of prescriptions of opioid painkillers. The lawsuit also named Teva Pharmaceuticals, Endo International, and I guess this crackdown is happening.
Yeah. It's about time.
Yeah. These opioids are getting a little bit crazy. So tell me again, what are you writing for PC Magazine?
About ransomware.
That you're going to go over. When's that coming out?
It's coming out. Should be coming out tomorrow.
Oh, okay, good. So get your copy.
Maybe Thursday. Sometimes they push it off.
Of PC Magazine. Do a lot of people still buy the actual magazine or they go online for it?
No, there's no magazine anymore. It's just all online.
But they kept the word magazine.
Yeah, they did, I think.
Oh, let's get to the stock, shall we?
Yes.
Because I have some few things to gloat about.
Well, you hit some homer there, I guess.
Yep. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer or a recommendation to buy or sell any of the securities that we talk about here. Each and every week, John and I come together and we come up with some ideas based on some logic, which we talk about. It's more of an educational session that we go in and a competition in a way. But basically, this is something that you could look at and use for your own research. Of course, do not just blindly buy or sell or short or do anything with what we talk about here. We take no responsibility for your losses. John C. Dvorak, myself, and Horowitz Company clients may own securities that we mentioned, and we will talk about that and mention that. Finally, you can go over to dhunplug.com, and you can check out in real time how these are doing. What's up, what's down, what's in, what's out. We have a 10% trailing stop on these or more, depending on what we mention. But that's all there on dhunplugged.com. It's a really cool spreadsheet that you can track and watch. So what do we got?
I see what you're bragging about.
Yeah, two of them. Three of them.
Well, the Whopper.
Four of them. There's four of them, actually.
Okay. But the one I go by the nearest to the date one, which is from 5/10, you shorted Straight Path Communications.
Yep.
And it's up 23% and looks like it's going to continue to rise.
Can I do something we don't usually do? Can I cut that position? The reason is it's being bought for 184. There's no reason to hold on to this.
Oh, okay. So the deal's done.
Yeah, deal's done.
So it's going to close at 184.
Yep, unless something really wacko happens and the deal doesn't close. But I'm willing to take my 23% and go home.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you have to. I think because the way we played the game, you have to let it.
If it closes at 184, it's going to be on All right, let's put this away. When the deal's done, I'll take it out because it's not going to be. It's not
going to move now.
Right. It'll be a 180.
Down. It's not going to go down anymore.
Right. So
what if the deal falls through?
That's good for the short.
Yeah.
Yep.
If something happens, can the deal fall through or is it a done deal?
No, it's the deal. That's why it's at 180, not 184.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yep. So, all right. Well, we'll let it sit. That's fine. What else we got?
I got kicked out of a couple of dogs.
Yeah. AMD was moving up big time today on the NVIDIA earnings report a couple of days ago. It shot up.
Yeah, I don't see any reason for this to hold at these higher prices. Mm-hmm. AMD is a stock that fluctuates between $3 and $12 historically.
That's big.
And you can see it over and over and over and again. And I was thinking it was on its way back to $3 because of Intel's new chips. They got some crazy chips they brought out that's got nothing to do with and some new memory technology that I thought AMD would be susceptible to being beat up by. But I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I got bumped. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So I shorted it at 10. I'm out at 1180.
Mm-hmm.
Not a huge loss, but not positive.
We also have the Trade Desk come out with some incredible earnings. We picked that up at 37. It's now 52.20, up 38%. That was my advertising optimization company.
Yes, that is I think that is your best pick.
Yeah,
outside of Barclays.
Yeah, Barclays is good. That's going to be a year.
That yeah, Barclays is coming up in 628. We'll have held it for a year, up 50%.
And it also means that in a year, there was no 10% correction on that stock.
There was no 10% correction. There was probably a dividend or two in there that we didn't get.
Right. That's true. That's true also.
But we would have gotten.
Yep.
We actually
with that, this amazing. There's no 10% correction on that. Just amazing. You're short. Yeah, of, you're short of Gilead is up 3.5%. Campbell Soup is just sitting there.
I think this is the one. This looks to me, Campbell Soup. I'll bet you this thing doesn't go anywhere. One up or down.
That's possible. It's. But Campbell Soup is kind of good in bad markets. You know,
it's
especially
good.
Yeah, good in recessionary markets. I don't know. Yeah. Do you eat this crap?
No.
Oh, who eats this stuff?
Well, actually, I have to say this. Every once in a while, when I go to one of these outlets places, Campbell's has more than just a canned soup that, you know, was popularized by canned soup. They have these kind of crazy new packages that's got some sort of hearty beef stew soup and stuff. And I pick one of those up once in a while and check it out.
They have frozen ones, too.
Oh, I didn't know that. They have a lot of they do more than just soup, and I'm kind of amused by it. Mm.
Twilio buy is up 1.25%. Cara Therapeutics up 16%. That's the second time. Hit support at 14.50. Bought it up 16%. Nugget the gold, which will probably be up big time again tomorrow. Let me see. Gold is up. Gold is up $6. As you know, right now futures are coming down pretty well. The S&P futures down 13. The Dow is down about 90 on this Trump news. You got booted out of Gas Star Exploration, even with a 20% stop on it.
Yes. Now I'm thinking of maybe buying it myself. Mm. It's so low.
Mm-hmm. And I'm entering one for this week. I mentioned this to you. Snap Short. You're going to do this with me?
Yeah, I want to be on that one.
Okay, this is going to be... We are also short on this for clients, which I'll mention that. And I'll put this for both of us. I'll make it purple because it goes purple on the list if it's for the both of us. Put the purple there. Okay.
Only interesting insider stuff that I've looked at this week is besides Revlon, Ron Perlman's buying $15 million worth of it at a pretty good price, it looks like. Revlon might be an interesting buy. I'll put it on there. But the other one that seems to be getting some attention is, which I don't want, because we talk about this all the time, even though Tempur Sealy International.
Oh, yeah. One of the mattress firm was bought recently. I don't understand how these companies do so well. I don't understand.
I think there's some consolidation taking place. And maybe this Tempur Sealy, which was once Tempur-Pedic and then Sealy separate companies and maybe a few others in there, maybe they're going to start buying somebody else or they're going to get bought. I don't know. It looks tempting. I'm not going to buy because I'm with you. I think there's something fishy about the whole industry.
Yeah, I think it's all based on incredibly aggressive selling. And, you know, you go down the road, I have 100 mattress stores and there's nobody in any of these. And they do a lot. And they do a lot of essentially subprime lending for mattresses.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like it at all. I'm with you 100% on this.
Yeah. What's the first stock that you had that you were picking?
Revlon.
REV.
Yeah.
Revlon.
But I do have one thing to point out, which is just kind of a side story. Bob Parsons owns, or he's the primary investor in GoDaddy. He just sold $300 million worth of his stock.
Good for him.
I think so. Bob is an old fart. He's like in his late 60s. And I knew him in the 80s when he had Parsons Technology and he made a product, personal helper called Rat Pack or something like that. Or Pack Rat, one of the two. And he was just one of those classic older guy that was involved in Silicon Valley kind of startups, even though I think he was out of San Diego. But it was that kind of thing. And he bumped around here and there, and then he got a hair up his ass with this. Once they allowed people to start individually selling domains, and he started GoDaddy and marketed it like a guy, like a maniac, and became now he just. I'm still sure he still holds a lot of the stock, but he sold $300 million. I have to congratulate a guy like that who sticks with it.
Yeah, that's the way. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, we're going to end
the
show.
He was a nice guy, by the way. He was a nice guy. Nice guy, Bob. Yeah.
Bob, well, happy birthday and congratulations to you, Bob. We have to end the show right there as we're running a little bit older. And
okay,
over,
good.
Over.
We're done.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.